pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Boy, that's an interesting command, isn't it? We find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. It's a short three-word verse in English, two words in Greek, though it is rather profound. And it brings us to the topic that we're going to be looking at today. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? Well, a man took his small son with him to town one day to run some errands. When lunchtime had arrived, the two of them went to a familiar diner, and they each got a sandwich. The father sat down at one of the stools on the counter and lifted the boy up to eat beside him. And they order lunch, and the waiter brings their food. And the father says, "Son, we're going to have a silent prayer. We're going to give thanks, but we're going to do so silently today." And dad got through. The father got through praying first, and he waited for his son to finish. But he just sat there and was like, "Boy, this is taking a long time. It's taking a really long time. Is my food going to get cold? What's going on here?" Well, he finally looked up. When the boy finally looked up, the father asked, "Oh man, what were you praying for that took so long?" The boy, innocent and just honest, he said, "How do I know? It was a silent prayer." Sometimes we have silent prayers. Sometimes we pray out loud. But the thing is, we're given this command to pray without ceasing here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. It's amid several short exhortations that Paul gives to the Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. A bunch of short exhortations here as he closes out 1 Thessalonians. But what does it mean to pray without ceasing? Does that mean that we need to pray all the time? What about sleeping? What about working? What about driving? What about all the other things that we do that take our mind away from prayer that we do every day? Is it really possible to pray without ceasing? Or is this an impossible command? Well, one of the first things we might look at is the Greek word. That Greek word is adialeptos. I'm sure you all know what that means, right? it's translated as without ceasing here in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's used four times in the New Testament, three of which we find in 1 Thessalonians. So the lion's share of the time, it's found right here. In chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul says he always remembers the people that he's writing to in his prayers. That's also the other time it's used, is in Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. He says in chapter 2 and verse 13, continually he continues to thank them for their acceptance of the gospel, which again is a type of prayer. And of course, here in 5:17, to pray always, to pray without ceasing. Looking at this, we find that this particular word uniquely describes prayer. And that's the adverb form. The adjective form is used in a couple other places. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, this form is used, it also refers to prayer, that Paul remembers Timothy in his prayers continually. But here's one instance where we don't find it in relation to prayer, at least I can't quite make the connection, and that's in Romans chapter 9 and verse 2. It describes the grief that Paul felt about how the Jews would simply not, or at least the lion's share of the Jews, would not obey the gospel. We see that in Romans chapter 9 and verse 2. And that continual grief that he felt as a result of his own countrymen not accepting Christ and who he is. There are a few possibilities, I think, to what this means. So, you know, as you run through the possibilities in your mind, you might come up with different possibilities as to what it means. But these are the four that I came up with. It could mean praying constantly, never stopping, always in prayer, like you might think a monk would do, right? Just sitting there doing nothing else but prayer. But that's impossible, isn't it? Are we going to pray when we're sleeping? We might pray while we're eating, but we're thinking more about the food, aren't we? There are so many things. This is a command for everybody. Not everybody is fit for that monastic lifestyle, and I recommend not doing that because we have other things that we have to do. And, you know, it's impossible as also, because if we consider 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15, it talks about pray with the Spirit and pray with the understanding. We can't always be focused on a particular prayer. Now, we might do so absent-mindedly, but then you're not praying with understanding, are you? You're not understanding what you're praying for. So we must find some other definition. It could mean being in a constant prayerful attitude. And in fact, that's how I initially heard this described, that we need to have a constant prayerful attitude about particular things. But then I think about that, and that doesn't seem quite right to me either. And here's why, because it lets you off the hook, if that makes sense. It makes it seem like that you're always in a prayerful attitude, therefore, why do I need to sit down and concentrate on a prayer? That's at least, you might not think it leads to that, but in my mind, that's where that particular line of reasoning leads. You know, it could simply be an exaggeration, simply meaning to pray frequently. And, you know, I think this is very possible. But I think something that's even more likely is what we're going to talk about today, and hopefully you'll come to the same conclusion that I do by the end of this lesson. That we need to make prayer a regular habit. A regular habit. Make it a part of who you are, so that, noon or 11 or 1 o'clock, whenever you eat lunch, you think, oh man, I'm hungry, it's time to eat lunch. Well, that's a regular habit that you might have. Why not include prayer in there as well? You know, we pray, we give thanks for the food very often, but is that all we're talking about? Do we need to pray more? Is there something more we need to focus on? And so that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about here. We have our daily routines that we go through. In the morning, we get dressed, we brush our teeth, we get dressed, we do all sorts of things, right, whenever we get up in the morning. Add prayer to that if it hasn't already been added to your list of things. Today we're going to look at a few examples of righteous men in scriptures and their prayer habits. Now, we don't know a whole lot about the prayer habits of a lot of people in scriptures, but these three, I think we have some idea, some notion as to their prayer habits. And that would be David, Daniel, and of course Jesus. And so we're going to look at how they obeyed this particular command. Of course, it was given after they were on this earth, but we can see their application, or at least their prayer style, their prayer habits, and perhaps there are things that we can emulate as well. How often do they pray? What kind of prayers did they make? Did they ever cease to pray? So the first one we're going to look is David. And you might wonder, well, what do we know about David's prayer life? Well, we have the book of Psalms, don't we? We have the book of Psalms. Of all the 150 Psalms that we have, David is said to have written about half of them, about 75 of these particular Psalms. Of the ones that are attributed, he is believed to have written about three-fourths of them. And many of them are written like you would say a prayer. We have various examples throughout the Psalms. Psalm chapter 4 and verse 1, have mercy on me and hear my prayer. 6 and verse 9, the Lord has heard my supplication, the Lord will receive my prayer. Psalm 17 and verse 1, hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry, give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Psalm 39 and verse 12, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Psalm 54 and verse 2, hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. Psalm 55 and verse 1, give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. 61 and verse 1, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. Psalm 65 and verse 2, O you who hear prayer. Psalm 66 and verse 19, but certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Psalm 69 and verse 13, but as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time. Psalm 72 and verse 15, prayer always also will be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised. Now, this is just a small sample, and this is of all the Psalms that talk about prayer, and that's just the word prayer. I didn't even include, listen to me, Lord. I didn't even hear me. I didn't include my supplication and giving of thanks and things of that nature. So we see that throughout the book of the Psalms, how many of them can be attributed as prayers. Looking at all of these, we see so many examples of prayer, 150 of them, if you will, not just songs, but prayers in the scriptures. In this last one that we looked at in Psalm 72 and verse 15, he says that he will be prayed to continually. And that kind of reminds me of 1 Thessalonians 5:17, doesn't it? Pray without ceasing. He will be prayed to continually. Pray without ceasing. If you recall, there is a particular trait in Hebrew poetry, and that's what we see in the book of Psalms, is it's Hebrew poetry. And that particular trait is called parallelism. And we, you know, that's the idea of Hebrew parallelism. When you study the Psalms, you recognize that this is a very, not just the Psalms, but it's in the Proverbs too, and many other bits of Hebrew poetry in Scripture. You find this parallelism throughout. And there are different ways in which this works. One of them is, of course, first off, you typically have two lines, right? You typically have two lines that are very closely related to one another. Now, they could be related in various ways. One of the more common ones, I think, is they're synonymous phrases, where they mean essentially the same thing using different words. They reword the first line, and you see it in the second line. And so, again, it means the same thing. Another one is, you know, they have opposites, or perhaps they explain the idea of the first line a little bit more clearly. I think here we see synonymous phrases here in Psalm 72 and verse 15. Prayer will always be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised. The idea of prayer and praise is very closely related, but at the same time, frequency is mentioned here. Continually, also daily. So pray without ceasing, we might be able to conclude, means to pray daily, to pray daily. But how often daily are we to pray? How often? Once? Twice? Three times? Four? Five? How many times? Well, when we look at another psalm, let's consider Psalm 55. We looked at verse 1 earlier. I know I kind of went through them kind of rapid fire, so you might not remember. Psalm 55 and verse 1 mentions that this is a prayer. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. But then we jump to verse 17, and we see when David prays. Evening and morning, and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. So it seems, going through this, that he prays three times a day. Morning, for him, evening, morning, and at noon, because their days started in the evening. And so for us, though, it starts in the morning. So morning, noon, and at evening. Might be a good rule of thumb for us to follow in terms of our frequency. And of course, we'll look at more of that in a little bit. What can we also learn about the length of our prayers? When we study the Psalms, of course, we find that Psalm 119 is the longest psalm with 176 verses. Do we need to have prayers that are that long all the time? Well, there's only one of those. So I would wager no. But the shortest is only two verses, and that's Psalm 117, right? Only two short verses. Doing a statistical analysis I did a while back for the Psalms, just looking at the length of them and trying to figure out, of course, verse length is not a very good indication of, or it's not an exact science, let's put it that way, for how long a particular psalm is, but it gives you some indication of how long it is. So, looking at the verse length for these various psalms, the average length of the psalms is about 16 verses, a little bit over 16, about 16.4 or 16.5 verses. We find that the median psalm length is only 12 verses. So the average is 16, but the median is only 12. This indicates that there are shorter psalms than longer ones. Most fall between about 8 and 20 verses. Most of the psalms fall in between that range there. Yes, we see that many are songs, but as we mentioned, they can also be prayed. The point is that these inspired prayers, these inspired songs, are not long at all for the most part, which I think is a great indication that our prayers don't always need to be long either. I lead a prayer, it's usually fairly lengthy. I have things that I have added to it. Alvin's prayer this morning was rather short, I thought. But, sometimes that's a good thing. And I appreciate short prayers because it gets to the point. It helps us to focus our minds on that particular thing that has been mentioned. There's another consideration. Whenever you read through the Psalms, you might have noticed that there is quite a bit of repetition. Repetition. When you read through the Psalms, how many times do you notice that they repeat themselves? It's always, in fact, we notice that whenever I did that quick run-through of a bunch of Psalms. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to my supplication. That kind of speech is mentioned, is repeated several times throughout the book of the Psalms. So I think that this indicates that repetition is expected in prayer. Repetition is expected in prayer. How many times do we read of David praying for deliverance, for mercy, for forgiveness? How many times do we read that things seem hopeless in the Psalms? But God also saves the righteous and destroys the wicked in the end. There are, after all, only so many ways to pray for health. There are, after all, only so many ways to pray that our sins be forgiven. The more you pray, the more likely it is that you're going to repeat yourself. Is there anything wrong with that? I don't think so. I don't think so. In fact, we often, I do have phrases that I have memorized that I pray often in my prayers. And if you've been paying attention to the live streams, the daily ones, and now the regular ones that we're doing, you'll notice you might have picked up on some of them. Is there anything wrong with repeating those things? The more you pray, the more likely you're going to repeat yourself. What we need to make sure that we avoid are vain repetitions, right? We see that in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. The vain repetitions are things that the heathen do, right? That's not something that Christians ought to do. So any repetition that we make, we need to make sure that we mean it. That it's not something that is just on the back of my mind and you're just, it's just what you say, sort of a filler word almost. Often whenever people are public speaking, you might have noticed I might use some filler words. Anyone who's doing public speaking, unless they're super good at it, will give filler words like, I've noticed several of my phrases I repeat often when I'm trying to think of something to say. I'm trying to remember what I'm supposed to say. Vain repetitions are things we need to avoid in our prayers. Vain repetitions. Let's consider also the character of Daniel. We've looked at David. Back to repetition, just real quick. I have no doubt that David meant, even with all the repetition, that David meant every single word that he wrote. Do you have any doubt of that? As you read that, you can tell that it's dripping with sincerity, with exactly what needs to be said at that particular time. And that's how our prayers ought to be as well. Let's consider Daniel. Daniel. In Ezekiel chapter 14, why are we talking about Daniel when I go to Ezekiel? Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 14 mentions that Daniel was a righteous man. So he is a good, and of course prophets usually should be righteous. But we see that that's even indicated here explicitly that David or that Daniel is a righteous man. He's faithful to God. And we note throughout, or at least especially in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, that he had a very active prayer life. We note in that particular verse that he prayed 3 times, as was his custom since early days. It's something that he did often, that it was a frequent thing that he had accomplished. Of course, by the time we get to that particular chapter, we find that the Medo-Persians are in charge. We find that they are in control here. It's not the Babylonians anymore. They've been conquered, and the Medo-Persians are the ones. King Darius the Mede is the king at this time. He liked Daniel, as we see in chapter 6 and verse 2. He liked Daniel and put him in a high position of authority. He was one of 3 governors. Of course, the king was thinking about putting him over everything. And the other 2 governors and a lot of the satraps, the people under the governors, were saying, oh man, we got to do something. We got to find some dirt on this guy. He's not someone that this guy right here, I need the power. Man, this guy shouldn't be over all of us. For some reason, they were trying to find some dirt against him. But could they find any? I couldn't find any at all, could they? You know, in chapter 6 and verse 9, verse 5, excuse me, it says, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Man, isn't that a great statement? Isn't that something that, that's something I wish someone would say about me. They're trying to find something against me, but they can't find anything except for my relationship and my Christian faith, my relationship with God. And I pray that's the case with all of us. So they had, of course, this is the story of Daniel in the lion's den. I'm sure many of you are familiar with that. They had Darius make a prayer to God, make prayer to God illegal for 30 days. The only people who could pray that they could pray to was the king. Again, it was Daniel's custom to pray 3 times a day. The law demanded that he could only pray to the king, something Daniel could not and would not do. He liked Daniel. And he was sad when he realized what he had done. the law in that kingdom was immutable. The king could not change it. It's a good thing they had some kind of sunset clause on it, let me tell you. Because otherwise, it would have been forever and nobody, no faithful person of God would be safe. Did Daniel falter or fail? Certainly not. Regardless of the new law and the penalty being thrown into the lion's den, he knew what he had to do. Like David, he still prayed three times a day, very likely at evening, morning, and at noon. You know, if you're familiar with world religions, you know that devout Muslims will pray five times a day. And if you want to pray five times a day, you know, go ahead. Assuming, of course, you're praying to the right God. But I don't think that's absolutely necessary. Praying five times a day is a great thing, but you see, these righteous men, both David and Daniel, prayed three times a day. They purposefully planned and diligently carried out their prayerfulness during these times. Certainly, there is an example for us to follow here. Despite its being illegal in Daniel's time, he still prayed without ceasing, right? That command was written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17, long after David and Daniel were on this earth, and yet we see that they followed it. They knew that they were to pray without ceasing. Like any good child of God, Daniel chose to disobey men because of what God had said. We've seen, of course, Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. And as a result, he was thrown to the lions. Spoiler alert, he survives. For those of you not familiar with that story, if someone isn't familiar with that story, the Lord preserves him. The Lord preserves him. So, what excuses do we have that can even compare? Too busy? I just forgot? Government hasn't made it illegal for us. No matter what happens, they can't really do that, can they? You know, they say they've taken prayer out of schools. They've taken official prayer out of schools. You can still pray. Students, you can still pray. They haven't really taken it out. If Daniel prayed without ceasing, what do you think our Lord did? Let's consider Jesus with the remaining time we have left. How often did Jesus pray? How often did Jesus pray? Well, we're not told specifically. We go through the gospel accounts. We're not told specifically how often he prayed, which, again, I think suggests that he likely prayed three times a day. And again, I think this is a good rule of thumb. Maybe he prayed more frequently, maybe less. I don't know. It doesn't say specifically. What we do read is there are 18 instances where it is recorded that Jesus had prayed. Nine are specifically mentioned prayers, and nine are just, you know, just say that he prayed. And I'm sure during his three-year ministry that's recorded there, surely he prayed more often than that, but it's not recorded. The frequency is not recorded. What about the length? And we don't have time to get through all of these. But he prayed, and if you've got the outline out there, you're going to get a full list of all the things that were compiled here. He prayed short prayers. We see he gave thanks and blessed the food when the feeding of the 5,000. He prayed while he was being baptized, perhaps right after he came up out of the water. We see in Luke 3:21. He prayed for his friend Lazarus and for God's glory to be revealed in John chapters 11 and 12. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, three very short prayers, expressing his anguish about what he was about to face. He prayed on the cross while he was writhing, hanging there in pain and agony. We also find that he prayed long prayers. He prayed long prayers. His longest recorded prayer, we find, of course, is in John chapter 17. If you were to just read it out, it'd take maybe 3.5 to 4 minutes to read. Should that be considered long? Well, it's longer than some of the others that are recorded. Some of the other, let this cup pass from me, if it be your will. That's a short prayer, just a single line or two. Certainly longer, or certainly John chapter 17 is longer. But other times he prayed well before daylight until people were wondering where he was before deciding upon going on and preaching in other towns. We see that in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. He also went up on the mountain and prayed from lunchtime, well, about lunchtime, to evening after he heard that John the Baptist had been killed. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, we read that he prayed all night before choosing his disciples. All night. Can you imagine? Have you ever done that? Just sat there and prayed all night. Did he pray every second of every day? Back to the main point, pray without ceasing. Did he pray every second of every day? We do read about him sleeping, right? Sleeping in the boat as they're heading across the Sea of Galilee. So then, did he violate the command or the idea to pray without ceasing? No, I don't think so. He prayed continually by praying regularly. He prayed continually by praying regularly. He had a very healthy prayer life, offering up prayers that were long, when big decisions were upon him or when he was in distress. And he offered short prayers at other times, sometimes when he was in distress too. There's nothing wrong with short prayers. There's nothing wrong with long prayers. But let's make sure that they're sincere prayers. And they're prayers that we offer without ceasing, that we continue and pray regularly. Pray every day. Recommended, again, 3 times a day. Because prayer is such an important aspect of a Christian's life, isn't it? Such an important part. And we don't realize just how important it is until we do more of it, or until for some reason we've forgotten. We realize just how great and how important and how wonderful our prayer life is. Our prayer life should reflect, I think, that of these righteous men, David, Daniel, and of course our Lord. So what does that mean for us? How often should we pray? What kind of prayers should we offer? Based on what we find here, I recommend, of course, carving out just a small portion of the day, 3 times a day, to pray to our God. I don't think this is a hard and fast rule, but I do think it is something that we ought to do. Why not do that? As I said earlier, again, this seems like a good rule of thumb. But don't hesitate going through your life. Don't hesitate to offer short prayers here or there when you might feel compelled to do so. Somebody tells you about something going on in their life, just say a quick prayer. I pray for this person. If something big is coming up, a new job, a move, a marriage, if something is big coming up or something difficult has happened, pray long. Pray hard, just as Jesus did. The more you pray, and as I mentioned earlier, the more you pray, the more likely it is you're going to repeat yourself. And you know what? That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Just don't let them be vain repetitions. Good places to start, of course, Kenny's text that he sends out every day. It's wonderful. You get to keep up on the things that the congregation is praying for. A plug for that, for those who are already subscribed to that. Man, fantastic. But if you're not, I recommend it. It's a great thing. Another good place to start is to pray with us during our regular live streams. We've done them. We've used to do them daily. Now we're doing them on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays on Facebook Live. Man, I encourage you, if that's something you have time to do and you can figure out how to do that during your day, man, I recommend joining us on that. I think it's great. And I really get to enjoy the interaction with the people online there, and just how great it is. There's a story of early African converts to Christianity, and they were earnest and regular in their private devotions, in their private prayers. Each one apparently had a separate spot in the thicket that they would go to regularly, and they would pray. They would pour out their hearts to God. Over time, those paths would become well-worn. They wouldn't, as you might imagine, a path, a regularly walked path, you wouldn't have any growth there anymore. As a result, if one of these believers began to neglect in his prayers, began to forget or was too busy, it was very apparent to the other people there, to the other converts, and they would kindly remind him and say, "Brother, the grass grows on your path. The grass grows on your path." Let's build up our prayer lives. Let's not let the grass grow on our paths. Let's pray without ceasing. We know that God, we see in John chapter 9 and verse 31, that God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners. That's one of the things that we see there. And so if you're not a child of God, I encourage you to become one so that he can hear your prayers, that he will listen to you. You know, so many people pray in this world, and many times those prayers don't get past the ceiling, because they don't have a relationship with God. They're not Christians. They're not following the right path. God only hears the prayers of those who are righteous. And at the same time, we see in James chapter 5 and verse 16 what the prayer of the righteous man, the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man, avails much. Are we righteous if we're a Christian? Maybe. Are we righteous if we're a faithful Christian? Oh, yes. So, if you're not a Christian, I encourage you to become one today. Have your prayers heard. He'll listen to you. But if you want your prayers to be effective, be faithful to him. Make things right with him. If you are already a child of God, if you're already a Christian, but you've been faltering from time to time, I encourage you, make things right with him. Make things right so that your prayers can be fervent and effective. We know what we have to do to be saved. We have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We've got to repent of our sins, turn away from the wicked things that we do, confess the wonderful name of Christ, and be baptized for the remission of our sins. That's how those are the things that we must do for God to hear us. And if we have done those things and we've faltered and we've failed, then we can come back, repent, and pray God that our sins be forgiven us. Be that righteous man. Be like talked about in James 5:16. That's the context of talking about Elijah. He is a man and no different than we are. But he was righteous, and his prayers effective. This morning, we need to pray. We need to pray without ceasing. And I encourage you to make things right with God so that that can be effective for you. Please, if you're joining us online, there'll be instructions on your screen in just a moment on how you can respond. If you're joining us in here, if you have a need, let us know as we stand and as we sing this song.